I was born in Boston, raised in Jamaica Plain until I was about 18. Lived in a housing project in Jamaica Plain. And then my parents bought a house when I was 18. We moved to Dorchester. Shortly after that, I met my wife, Marie, and moved to Peabody in 1976. Marie's family was up here. Her mother and father helped us buy a house, our first house on Newcastle Road in Peabody. I didn't know what a leather factory was. Even after I came to Peabody, until a couple of years, you drive around them, but unless you've been in one, you have no idea what they do. I had worked part-time for Larrabee and Hingston, just loading lumber. I didn't run any of the machinery. I was just a lumper. And they used to have truckloads of lumber come in that had to be stuck, air-dried. We used to have to put sticks in between them to get the air moving through the lumber to dry out the lumber because it was fresh right off the sawmill. We'd work all Saturday morning, loading, just sticking lumber in the summer and winter, whenever the load came in. But it was good money and the nice people, and I enjoyed working there. Sam Hingston started the company with Ralph Larrabee in 1931. The 50s and the 60s were boomtown years. The lumber would go into making tanning drums, wagons, the wheelbarrows that before fork trucks came, everything was wheeled in a wheelbarrow. And depending on the tannery and what kind of hide they did, the horses were small or large or long or short, depending on the leather. And so Larrabee and Hingston had made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of horses. The biggest abuse on horses were fork trucks. Crash into them and break the legs off of them, and they'd have to repair them and damage the wheels. But fork trucks eventually were Larrabee and Hingston's friend. The leather industry was a big mix of ethnic groups at that time. A lot of people from Europe and the tanneries. The Portuguese, of course, in the later years. Then a lot of Dominican Republic around here towards the close of the factories, and there was a mixture of Portuguese and Dominicans. But it was quite an ethnic mix. You know, a typical working class town. When I lived in Jamaica Plain, I lived in the housing project, and everybody was city workers, firemen, policemen, tea workers. Didn't know anybody worked in a tannery. My father worked in a shoe factory in Brockton when he was a kid. The tanning industry really fell apart when the EPA came in and said you have to clean up your water before it goes into the sewer. And at that time, the EPA didn't know how to do it. They just told you had to do it. So the tanneries would filter their water. The EPA would come in a year later and say it's not good enough. You have to do this. And they just kept banging on them all the way down the line until they finally threw up their hands. Most of them just said, we're not even going to do it anymore. It's too costly. And most of them didn't. And there's only, in 2006, was maybe three people in the North Shore that are still doing it. They're on the fence. You know, is it worth it? We had to start downsizing. As people got older and they retired, they weren't replaced. Pretty much was basically what it was. We didn't have a layoff until the very end, just before we closed the company, where we had to lay off a couple of our guys that had been with us for a long time. And then we just, the family just running there at the end. And then it was, you know, the handwriting had been on the wall for a long time. There were trucking companies everywhere. There were chemical factories. There were big ones, little ones, specializing in different things. There was all that closing up. Walnut Street loaded with little shops and bars and luncheonettes and stuff like that. And that all is gone. Eventually, it killed the hardware stores. Allen Hardware, where the train guy is on Main Street now, they were the first hardware store to go. Zelotus eventually closed up. Boyle Machine closed up. There's a grocery store downstairs now and a dance studio upstairs. That was Boyle Machine supplied all the tanneries with all the piping and the valves and industrial equipment. Zelotus, because of all the immigrants that were in that area of town, Zelotus family did a lot of work for the people. Their hardware store was a great hardware store. It wasn't anything you couldn't get there. People would come in with a part from a sink that was made 100 years ago from the valve, and Zelotus had those parts. And they used to, you know, if you didn't know where to get it, you'd go to Zelotus's and they'll put it together for you. They eventually closed up. Then storefronts were replaced by Walgreens. Home Depot came to town. No more hardware stores. You know, you go to Home Depot. But we closed the shop in 1996. We were still making things for a couple of good customers we had around the country. Who were calling us, please, please, before you go, we need this part made. So we were making things, but it wasn't enough to keep the company running. And people wanted me to keep the company running after we closed the big shop. They said, why don't you move into a little shop? I said, it's not. I can't do it. It's not enough. I can't make a living at this. Eventually, you are going to be gone out of business. And this guy is going to be gone out of business. And that's what happened. There's nobody left.